Hello everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves us, and His love runs deep. His dedication, His love, His concern, His desire for us to live just like Him never runs out, but it runs deep. And it's high above the stars. His love is great. He loves us. With that in mind, when He created you, there were things He put in you. Now, the last few weeks we've been talking, we're still dealing with end times. But in order to navigate your life in the end times, there are things you got to know. In this recent chapter of End Times, we've been dealing with the tares of the field, how there are tares sown among the wheat. In the last 2 months, we've been dealing with how the Lord, His plan to deal with tares that's sown among the wheat. And they end in judgment. They're bound in bundles to be burned. And we covered the fact that God didn't cause them to be tares. They decided to be tares. Tares decided to be tares. And there are people who have gotten saved. They are acquainted with the Lord. They know the Lord. They have known the Lord, but they turned from Him. And they ran after the world. And the scriptures are very clear about this. There's a false doctrine that says once saved, always saved. If a person can enter the kingdom of God, If they decide to, they can also exit the kingdom of God. Why do you think the enemy tempts people to do wrong after they've been saved? He's trying to get you back on his playing field. If you couldn't follow him back to his playing field, it's pointless for him to try to tempt you to go on your own accord to his playing field, the world system. He's trying to get every believer to reject the ways of God and live according to his plan in order to recover what he lost. See, when a man gets saved, he leaves the world system and goes to God's system. There's only two. You're either going to enter God's kingdom or you're going to remain in Satan's kingdom. Why do we have to be saved in the first place? And what do we have to be saved from? We have to be saved from the destruction of the world system and the wrath of God for people who reject Christ. So you're actually being saved. You're being rescued so you can live forever. And you're being salvaged so that you don't have to be destroyed with the world. Now the Lord has to destroy the world system. He's got to do it. He's planned to do it. It's ordained. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of moments in time. When the time runs its course, at the proper date, the Lord's going to return and do the things He said He would do. He's got to do it. He's not going to allow sin to last forever. And man's time, our lease is almost up. And Jesus is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. And the devil's going to be locked away in hell and everything that's attached to him. That's why he tries to get people to go back, even after they've been saved. The wheat are those who are in the kingdom of God. The harvest are those who will enter the kingdom of God. And the wicked are those who will be destroyed and their tares. So the Lord has to deal with these things. Now let's look at something from the beginning. If you want to destroy deception, always go back and look at what God did in the first place. To save time, we're going to read a few scriptures, but in your study time, study chapters 1, 2, and 3, and you'll see how sin got in the earth, how Satan has a right to be here, because he deceived Eve, and she sinned, and Adam sin. They ate off the tree God told them not to, and now that gave Satan a right to be on the earth again. Now This is Genesis chapter 3. I started verse 9. The key verse is verse 15. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat of? And the man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." See, Adam didn't know he was naked because he was clothed with the glory of God. But when he ate off the tree, the glory of God departed, and he knew he was naked. And the only thing that would do that is disobedience. And the only disobedience that he could do is eat off that tree. He didn't know anything about sin. And his spirit man was perfect until he ate off that tree. That's when his spirit man died. And he learned the difference between good and evil. Okay, continuing, verse 12. "The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." See, the woman was deceived. That's why sin is not transferred through the woman. And that's talked about in New Testament scriptures. We'll cover that later. Verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust will you eat all the days of your life." And now watch verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now he's talking to the serpent, which simultaneously he's talking to Satan. So the Lord changed the animal, the serpent. He lost his legs and he has to slither on the ground and eat dust. Now serpents used to have legs. But because this serpent interrupted he was involved in sin being introduced to Adam. He was involved in Adam becoming a sinner. Now, that meant because he did this, it would affect his generation just like he affected the animal. I'm not talking about Satan. I'm talking about the animal, the snake. Because he altered Adam's destiny, it affected his destiny and his descendants. So they lost their ability to walk on legs, and they have to slither like a worm. Because the laws of sowing and reaping, they always work. Even the Lord can't rescue you from the laws of sowing and reaping. He can save your spirit man. But when people continue to sin, then they get saved, they still gonna have to deal with the consequences of their actions. So when you're gonna marry somebody, you need to consider, what in the world have they been doing? The laws of sowing and reaping are not reversible. But when you go to heaven, you go to heaven. But you may go faster. All right. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, your generation and her and his generation. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow will you bring forth children, and your desire will be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. To Adam he said, Because you listened to the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shall you bring forth food. Sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you was taken, for dust thou art, and dust you shall return. Now, all this happened because of disobedience. Disobedience is the first cause of poverty and disconnection from God. So when we disobey God, we're going to have problems. Understand that. But when you enter life, when you go in His presence and learn who He is for yourself, and start and believe the words that He speaks to you, the knowledge He gives you, and receive it and act on it, your life will change. Instead of you committing sins that's going to damage your life, you will do things that work blessings, that will bless your life and help you recover what's lost and gain what you didn't have and become the perfect will of God. And remember, beginning of the broadcast, we said God put something in you. Now, I've been briefly dealing with in the last few broadcasts, how God wants to give a man his individual uniqueness back. And that's what you want to do, what you want to be, and what you want in life. And those three values, those three things that He put in you, they will not conflict with your conscience, because they are living things, not dead things. And they won't conflict with God's word, because they are living things. These are the living desires, the true you. As you go enter in His presence and worship, through worship and praise and considering the knowledge of the word of God, when you reflect on the scriptures you've read and the things the Lord put in your heart, when you consider these things, you're closer and closer to what God put in you, the things that the enemy has been trying to hide. A lot of people don't know their purpose. Your purpose is to grow and learn of God. And all those things that He put in your heart, they can be summed up from three areas, because everything in heaven's made in three. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? And what do you want? What possessions do you want? How do you want your life to be? Those three things. That's your foundation. And they will help you to do the will of God. Because when you go around, when Jesus came and doing the will of God, He went about doing good. He went about representing God, doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, healing the lame so that they could walk, teaching people the wisdom of God. And you can do that in every way. Whatever your profession is, whatever you're interested in, you can serve God with your profession. You can be a blessing to many others. Now, last time we gave the analogy I've seen many women and heard about many women. They'll leave a good man and cling to a bad one. Somebody that'll fight her and treat her wrong, cheat on her. But she'll cling to him and leave a good man and disrespect him. Why? It's because there's enmity between God's seed and Satan's seed. If you like something over in the world, it will lead you astray. In other words, a person that loved the world somewhere, and the world system is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, everything summed up is those are the three foundations of the world. If you love any part of the world, then you're going to be at enmity between the wisdom of God. So let's say a couple is married. One of them got saved and they love God, and one of them loved the world. Well, the one that loves the world is going to be at enmity with the one that truly loves God. And there's going to be a problem, because God Himself put enmity between Satan's seed and His seed, and the seed of woman. The seed of woman is Jesus. So that's why in the world system, there people fight. They try to kill Christians, because there's a foundational enmity between God's people and Satan's people. It's the same thing in churches. When they love the world somewhere, they have a problem. They automatically have a problem with a good pastor. They're going to find them a pastor that compromised according to their specifications. Now, we're going to cover this again, but this is just the way it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about it. People will find a corrupt pastor if they're corrupt. A person that's married will find a corrupt lover if they want one. And they'll, no matter how good a person is to them, that doesn't matter. They will gravitate to their own kind. And they will hate what is true. It doesn't matter if children are involved. It doesn't matter who it hurts. It doesn't matter what. No matter what's going to happen at the end of the day, if they don't get their eyes off the world, they will be pulled to it. And then that, once they are pulled toward the world, they're going to find somebody that agree with them. See, the tares are bound in bundles to be burned. God's given them over to their own determination. For the last few decades, he would plead with them and deal with them. And they wasn't determined. Now they're going to become very determined to do whatever sin they enjoy. And you're not going to be able to stop them. And you're just going to have to trust the wisdom of God from this point on. Because it can't be both two ways. If they're going to be bound in bondage to be burned, they're doing it. God don't push people out in the world, but he will retract his influence and give them over to a reprobate mind like he did the first generation. I'm telling you so that if you love God, you'll know how to navigate your life. Before people got away with just having a half-hearted relationship, you're going to have to seek the Lord and follow him now, because these things are certain. He's going to give them over to their own determination. They're going to leave your side. If they leave God's side, they'll leave your side. Whatever people do to God, they'll do to you. If they love God, they're going to love you. If they have a problem with God, they're going to have a problem with you if you love God. If you won't compromise according to their specifications, they're going to leave. I'm not a compromiser. I'm all in. From the time I got saved, I decided I wanted to be all in. Sometimes I didn't know how to be all in. Sometimes I had to wrestle with things and win. And I had to get things off my mind that shouldn't have been there. Now, that's not loving the world. That's doing something about it. But when people start trying to protect temptations that they have, and when they try to start finding ways to include the world system in their life, that's where their problems come from. Every time I was tempted, I was honest, and I asked the Lord to help me deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. Just being honest, I did not know how to deal with these things. But I asked the Lord for help. And he helped me to deal with things. I asked him for wisdom and knowledge. I asked him for insight. I asked him to teach me what it was that I didn't know. Sin will irritate you. And the sin of this world, it irritated me. I didn't like it. Were you tempted? Yes, I was very tempted. But I didn't want to be tempted. I wanted to win. I wanted to live the life of God. I wanted to live according to the wisdom of God. And it bothered me when I didn't know how. And people go through this. See, sometimes people actually sin. They may fall, but that doesn't mean that they like it, that they want to live that way. There are many people on drugs they want off. I say get saved and seek the Lord. If you're gonna conquer sin, you're gonna need God's wisdom. No matter what you have a problem with, even if you don't think you'll live right or do right, you're gonna need to get saved and ask the Lord to save you and turn your back on sin as much as you can. When you get saved, the sin nature is broken. From there, you can learn God's wisdom so that you can learn to hate it. A lot of people don't want their trap. Sin is entrapment. That's why Satan tried to tempt you. But that doesn't mean your heart is fully hardened yet. A, The person with a hard heart, they closed their ears. When they stoned Stephen, they didn't want to hear his words. They put their hands over their ears, and they ran and picked up stones, and they threw them at him to make him be quiet, because they didn't want to know about the knowledge of God. He gave them the timeline rundown. He revealed the plan of God from the beginning. From Adam to the current times, he showed them God's plan, and they did not want to receive Jesus as their Savior. There's enmity between darkness and light. There's enmity between Satan's people and Jesus' people. There's enmity between the children who were just like that serpent and the children that were just like the seed of woman. There's enmity between Jesus and Satan. There's enmity between Satan and Jesus. So if you're going to marry somebody, you got to consider, do they love God? And you got to consider, do I love God? And if you both love God, you have a good foundation to build upon. Otherwise, you're building on sand. And if you try to marry somebody that's in opposition with God and you love God, you're building on sin. Hopefully they'll get saved and you'll stay saved. And you know, in this world, all kind of things happen. Sometimes the person that's a Christian now, they may be the one that loved the world somewhere. And then the person that's a sinner right now, they may get saved and fall in love with God. Well, what's going to happen? Enmity is between God's seed and Satan's seed, Jesus' seed and Satan's seed. See, some people think they can go to God without Jesus. That's a lie. So enmity is between, I'm going to narrow it down so you can't miss it. Enmity is between Satan's children and Jesus' people. See, the seed of woman is Jesus. Women don't have seed, but the seed of woman is Jesus, because see, the man has seed, but he was fathered by the Holy Spirit. So that isolates where the enmity is. See, Satan don't have a problem with you going to God because he knows it's impossible. You don't, or you may not. People don't. People don't always understand that. But Satan does. So he invents religions where you can go straight to God. And you can't. It's impossible. You got one chance to try out whatever it is you believe. And if you don't believe on Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And you'll be separated. And when you go to hell, now that's the second death. You're out of God's jurisdiction. And whatever happens to you is up to Satan. And the laws of sowing and reaping that you've done. So if you're a bad sinner and you go to hell, you're going to be punished more severely. And if you reject the knowledge, you're going to be punished more severely. And if you were deceived and didn't get saved, you're going to be punished. And to us, it'll be very severe. But in hell, there will be people that's worse off. You don't want to be punished at all. It's not going to be good. There's nothing to look forward to. You will wish that you could come to the point that you didn't even exist. And you can't. On this side, it looks like when a man dies, there's no evidence to what happens spiritually, because you can't see it and you can't hear it. But the Lord has allowed people to come back and proclaim what it's like on the other side. And I'm one of them. I went to hell in 1986. The Lord let me go and see it. I was not afraid of it. I was not a part of it. I was not captured by it, so I didn't fear it. I was an observer. And it made me want to do something to warn people so that they can live. You know, these broadcasts is not an accident. God, this is ordained of God. So tell as many people as you can about newlivingletters.com and the radio broadcast. The Lord loves souls. And we got to reach them. And if you love God and God is, you have a relationship with the Lord and you want to be a blessing to the Lord, go in prayer and ask the Lord what you can do. Regard what the Holy Spirit will guide you to do so that you can reach the people that you know. There are many people in the cracks and crevices out there. Start being faithful and the Lord will bless you to win souls. The things that's important to people now is what they drive, where they live, what they wear, where they work. But on the other side is how many people did you bring with you? Because let me say this, when you go to heaven, you're well taken care of. You're going to live forever. You're going to be able to explore what God has done. You're going to be able to build things. There's no temptation anymore. There's no resistance anymore. Whatever you want to do, it's going to prosper. It's a beautiful life. And I didn't even start talking about the sports they got up there and what they do for fun. Because my relationship with the Lord is fun. And when I go in his presence, I don't want to leave. And you know, some pastors, they say, well, I'm finna go pray. And they say it like they about to go and stack bricks or load bricks. But when I pray, I'm praying all the time. And right before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, is there a chapter you'll give me that to help me understand something you want to relate to me? And he'd give me a chapter, and then for a few minutes, he'll help me understand something I never knew before, something I need to know about. And me and him dialogue. He bring things to my attention all the time. That ain't stacking bricks to me. Even when he tell me things that's a rebuke, I'm glad, because now I can do something about my problem. And there are problems I've been wanting to solve a long time. And as he showed me what to do, sometimes he give me more information about what I've been praying for personally. Much of the time, he showed me things I need to know ministry-wise. But the just shall live by his faith. So when I want to know something, I just ask. And at the correct time, at the perfect time, he'll answer me. And I ask a lot of questions, so I get a lot of answers. I suggest you do the same, because you just with God, there's not a big I and a little you. There's not a big you and a little I. It's just a relationship with God. And what we do for him is up to him. And how far we go with it is up to us. Because as long as you're faithful doing something, it's going to escalate. It's going to elevate. But if you're doing nothing and keep doing nothing, there's nothing to elevate. But God still loves you, and he'll still work with you. He'll still talk to you. And he don't talk to you like you're nothing. He don't act like earthly kings and presidents. You don't have to make an appointment with a secretary to talk to him. You just start talking and start listening. And the God who made everything will commune with you by the Holy Spirit.